Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show here on this beautiful 27th day or 27th episode of 2019. This is episode 1927, the 21st of July already. Hopefully you guys are having a blessed week. I'm up to my eyeballs getting ready for T-Rex. And also, this weekend, I had a family situation that I had to tend to, and I just got in a little bit ago, so I was not able to put everything together for a show. So, I do have one news story for you though, but what I'm going to do tonight is re-air a previous episode, and it was a good one too, from episode 1818, or the 18th podcast of 2018, titled Biblical Standards for Public Servants and Washington Republican Platform. Really good show. It's worth listening to again and reminding ourselves. Of course, we've got a lot of new listeners, or maybe you've missed that one, or maybe it's been so long, it'll be like you've never heard it before. It'll be great. So, fortunately, we do have some good encore shows that we can pull up for situations just like this. So, thank you guys for understanding. Hopefully, you'll be blessed and encouraged by it anyway. But the news brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. You can go to 299days.com. to learn more about that. So our one news story, because, hey, we can all use some good news for a change, right? So I wanted to leave you with this. Townhall.com just posted a couple of days ago an article titled National Train a Teacher Day. Check this out. This weekend, hundreds of teachers across the country will be, of course, this has already happened yesterday. This weekend, hundreds of teachers across the country will be getting training to carry concealed handguns at school. You heard that right. July 20th is National Train a Teacher Day, with free training being offered for teachers by 239 instructors in 42 states. I wonder what the eight states are that's not getting this training. I think we could pretty much just come up with them right off the top of our heads, right? So 42 states have got training being put on by 239 instructors teaching children, or teaching teachers, how to protect our children carrying concealed handguns at school. That's what happened yesterday in the news. So, hey, kudos to them. I mean, there are some folks that just cannot help it. Their children, for whatever reason, they have to put them in public schools. So, may as well keep them safe. Now, if we could just keep their minds and their souls safe, because the active shooter situations are not really what's endangering our children, especially when their souls are in danger by the curriculum. It's the curriculum that teachers need to be defending our children from. But this is a good start. It's a good step in the right direction. Okay, guys. So you have a blessed week. Be tuning in. I know a lot of you guys now have the mobile app, the Amron app. We'll be putting out daily updates. Some of them are building up the scenario, and some of them little tips and pointers for helping you to get the most out of the exercise. And be prepared for it, and little things that'll help you out along the way. So I'll turn this now over to we've got about a minute and 45 second teaser for this week's Alerts USA Weekly Summary Intelligence Briefing. If you stick around to the end of the show, you'll hear the full length Alert USA Weekly Summary Intelligence Briefing. So if you don't have the app, go and check it out. Or click on that for a discount that's being extended to Amron operators and Radio Free Redoubt listeners That link over there on the right-hand side on the website will take you right to Alerts USA, so you can stay informed up to the minute when things break. And when things are breaking, when things break. So you don't want to miss out on that. Anyway, have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.
This is an Alerts USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, July 20th, 2019. This week in security news, most important for this update, on Friday, Alerts USA subscribers were some of the first in the U.S. to learn of Iran's seizure of a British-flagged oil tanker and brief detention of a second vessel in the Strait of Hormuz, dramatically increasing tensions in the strategic waterway that has become a flashpoint between Tehran and the West. The company said the tanker had 23 crew members of various nationalities. Iran's actions against the British vessel come following the seizure of an Iranian oil supertanker by Royal Marines on July 4th off the coast of Gibraltar, a British territory off the southern coast of Spain. That seizure came after the vessel was found to be violating sanctions on oil shipments to Syria. Friday's seizure of the British tanker comes less than 2 days after an American Wasp-class amphibious assault ship, USS Boxer, used electronic measures to splash an Iranian drone that came too close to the vessel and repeated warnings were unheeded. Iran has denied involvement and claims that they have not lost any aircraft. Late Friday evening, Alerts USA subscribers were also informed of a statement issued by the U.S. Central Command announcing the deployment of U.S. military personnel and resources to Saudi Arabia to boost regional security and stability. According to the statement, the deployment comes in coordination with and at the invitation of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. A second statement issued by CENTCOM announced the formation of a multinational maritime effort known as Operation Sentinel to increase surveillance of and security in key waterways in the Middle East to ensure freedom of navigation in light of recent events in the Arabian Gulf region. This has been an Alerts USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, July 20th, 2019.
We are back with segment two. Segment two is brought to you by our friends Selkirk Mountain Real Estate up in the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt, in the heart of the American Redoubt, specifically up in the northern part of the Idaho panhandle. If that's where you are planning on moving, or if you're seriously considering looking for property there, get a hold of them, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. This week, I got something from my friend, Representative Matt Shea, Washington State Representative, District 4. Got a race coming up. You know, the establishment, the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, the good old boys that just, you know, you need to compromise, reach across the aisle and, you know, give and take a little. And well, they mean give a little and give a whole lot. But he's been just a stalwart champion for conservative values and traditional American heritage and ideals. So it's really been a pleasure to watch him work and to work with him. But we were talking this week about we had been talking about, you know, Christians in the political arena. And so he sent me something from Charisma News, an article that he had come across, Why Jesus Wouldn't Run for Office. And I'm going to get to that. But first, I want to reread something that I've read, a few times. Over the years, and probably about once a year, I'll reread it. And I'm going to again. This particular one, I just did a quick internet search, and I pulled it up. And this is by the Black Robe website, the Black Robe Regiment. Of course, you guys know what the Black Robe is. The Black Robe Regiment is the Christian pastors that were patriots. They wore the black robes back then. And then underneath them is, you know, the famous stories about underneath their black robes, they would wear the colonial military uniforms, and they were fighting for, you know, during the Revolutionary War. So this is Black Robe, and it's not the Black Robe Regiment official website. Somebody else posted. Anyway, I want to read this to you.
And let me pull this back up. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. Now, as I read through these, let me stop. Should the church be involved in politics? This is what we're up against. This is the argument. This is people who shouldn't be involved. You're getting involved now. I'm speaking as a Christian right now. I know this isn't prepper stuff. We're not talking about guns. We're not talking about tactics. We're not talking about underground resistance and all that other cool stuff. But this is fundamental. This is fundamentally critical that we understand this. Because these are the challenges that we're facing today. And these are things that we're going to be challenged with this year as we face primaries and the general elections. And we contend with the apathy of the church. Those largely that are fighting for conservative Christian ideals and values are identify as Christians. And I know there's plenty of libertarians and liberty-minded, freedom-minded folks that are atheists and whatnot, but the majority, the overwhelming majority, identify themselves as Christians. And we have this battle going on in the churches where people are saying that you shouldn't be involved in politics. So our founding fathers didn't always feel that way, and especially the pastors, they had a completely different viewpoint from what we're seeing so much today, predominantly across the country, and more and more increasingly more apathy. We certainly didn't see that in Zilla yesterday at the Covenant Valley Church. They are very much engaged. They are stepping up. They're accepting the responsibility. Reverend Charles Finney, he lived from 1792 to 1875. So he was very much alive when many of the founding fathers that founded this country were alive, very much directly influenced by their views, their political worldview, and including the religious worldviews. But he said this: if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, and we can clearly argue that he is in many parts of our country, he says the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Again, that's by Reverend Charles Finney. I've not been able to find when specifically he gave this speech, but it really doesn't matter. This is part of a sermon. I don't know, but it's still so incredibly relevant. So, how many of these pastors are telling their parishioners to get involved politically? They don't. They're afraid of losing their 501c3 status, their tax exempt status. Can't talk about politics, right? You need to throw those chains off. I want to encourage the pastors to either you talk about it without fear, or you get rid of that thing that's causing the fear, your tax exempt status, whatever it takes. We've seen largely as churches that do that actually, they don't see a loss in revenue. Oh, they won't be able to write off their tithes and offerings. Our budget would just plummet. Not true. Actually, the pastors that we've seen that have gone that route and shed that 501c3 status, tax exempt status, so they can feel free to talk about politics and tell the voters how to get involved. They're actually seeing a larger loyalty. You're going to lose a few. Somebody's going to pout. But you're also going to increase the loyalty of the people when they understand where your heart is, when you're standing up for the right thing on principle. I think you'll see the loyalty increase. So anyway, this goes back to this article that Representative Matt Shea sent me and a couple of other folks. Why Jesus wouldn't run for office. You think he wouldn't? So I'm going to go through this with you. This is from Charisma News. Once upon a time, the pulpit set the tone for the nation. Now there are those who would try to silence the outcry. If we don't talk about these things, if we don't warn from our pulpits, then the next generation will forget what God has done for this country. In fact, they are already forgetting. Please listen to the sermon referenced at the top of this article. Many make the argument that Christians should not be involved with politics at all. However, did you know that the word politics means governing or leading a group of people? Do you think that God's word has anything to say about that? I will submit to you that it has quite a bit to say about it. And we often hear Jesus wouldn't run for office. Of course not. He is the office. Do you not know that the government rests upon his shoulder? He will, and there's scriptures all throughout this. He will tread them with the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Of course, he's not getting to run for office. He doesn't need three branches of government. He is the branch. Jesus Christ doesn't need separation of powers. He is the power. He is the governing authority. He is sovereign, and all governments sit under his control. So, does it not stand to reason that he is concerned about what this government represents? And I contend that it does. I believe that that it does very much. We'll take a break here real quick. And as all of our resources that we talk about, I'll put hyperlinks here in our highlights and resources posting. So later this week, as soon as we get all those uploaded over the next 24 hours or so, you'll be able to go and check these out yourselves. And I want to encourage you to this week. Spirit-filled people speak truth. Where does this don't get involved mentality come from? Unfortunately, it comes from men and women who are cowards or who are ignorant as to what God says, God's word says. And then he quotes Martin Luther King, the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. Martin Luther King Jr. You get that? The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. And I've only seen that demonstrated very few times, where I've actually seen pastors point their finger at statesmen and warn them that they sit under the authority of God, and if they misuse that, they will be held accountable and putting them on notice. It's a pretty cool thing to see someone standing up with authority and calling out politicians who aren't acting like statesmen and telling them that they are acting unlawfully and that they stand, they risk being in judgment if they don't turn themselves around. That's a pretty cool thing. Anyway, we're going to talk about what type of leaders, because you're going to have to choose leaders. You, the people, we, the people, are going to choose our leaders. And when you got people out there running for office, what's the standard that we should use for what type of person should be chosen for those elected positions? We're going to talk about that when we come back in the next segment. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership. Not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership. And it's going to come from us.
Greetings, patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Welcome back to Radio Free Without, segment three. Segment three brought to you by StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. And these guys help you with planning your property with the forethought to integrate the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features. Crucial elements to making your property sustainable strategically. So give them a call if you've got property, or if you are looking, shopping for a property, and you want a professional to go over with you. They offer that service as well. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Okay, now we were talking about, and this is just warning, heads up. This is a little more preachy, a little more Christian-y, and I'm not apologizing. I'm just giving you fair warning. Talk about God so much. Talk about the Bible preachy stuff so much. Well, you know, it's very much part of the fiber of who we are, so we can't separate it for us. And we're not going to worry about hurting somebody's feelings because we talk about God too much. But this one is really important, and this goes back to the fundamental, the foundation of who we are, what made America what it is. And we have rights, but we also have responsibilities. We have duties, obligations. So I think one of the things that we have a duty to do is hold our leaders to a standard. They're not in our country, in the United States, we are responsible for the leaders that we have, for the government that we have. We choose them and we hold them accountable. And if we don't, it's because we are apathetic, because we don't live in Venezuela. We don't live in Iran or Turkey. We actually live in the United States of America with elections where we can hold them accountable. The reason why we don't is through apathy. So, leaders, and here's scriptures for all of these. I'm going to post these. This is really good stuff. The articles, the links to these. Where's the rest of this? Pull this up. Leaders chosen must be wise and just. Wisdom and justice. Civil leaders are to be diligent in governing. Romans 12:8. Civil leaders are to be men of truth, hating covetousness. Civil leaders, judges, and officers are to fear God. There's a litmus test. Does this guy running, is he running, does he fear God or not? Yes or no? That's going to determine whether or not he gets your vote. Civil leaders are to be of God. Rulers are not to be a terror to good behavior, but rather to the wicked and evildoers. They're not to use their office and position to bring gain to themselves. We've got some problems there, don't we? They are ministers of God for good. Keep that one in mind. Especially those who say we're supposed to blindly follow the rulers, right? When they are passing mandates that are in contradiction to God's word. Irresponsible civil leaders are they who are either blind, ignorant, lazy, greedy, self-centered, drunkards, or act for their own gain. That's in Isaiah 56:10-12. Civil rulers are to record, preserve, study, and proclaim the law of God at all times. Are we seeing that today? If a ruler unintentionally or out of ignorance violates the law and the violation comes to his knowledge, he shall make restitution for it. Now, over in Coeur d'Alene, I've talked about this story before. In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, they passed an ordinance. No firearms within, I think it was 500 feet. It doesn't matter. It could be 300 feet, could be 500 feet, but no firearms within X amount of feet from a parade. So a guy standing there with his family could be arrested and charged and jailed for standing there with his family watching the parade with a sidearm on him, whether or not you have a concealed weapons permit. It was just no firearms. It was a gun-free zone. Well, They were challenged on this by the Idaho Second Amendment Foundation, and they were put on notice that this was illegal. It was unlawful. Of course, the city council, one person in particular, scoffed and mocked and said, then sue us. Well, they went to a step further, and the Second Amendment Foundation went to the prosecuting attorney and said, we're going to be filing a lawsuit against the city attorney, rather. And the city attorney went to the Coeur d'Alene City Council and said, yeah, if this were challenged the way it's written, we would not win this court battle. In other words, hello, people, this is unconstitutional. And they said, nobody's complained and nobody's filed a lawsuit. And so if somebody thinks it's illegal, they can go ahead and file a lawsuit. And then if they win, then we'll change the ordinance. Now, this is the type of arrogance that I'm talking about. When you have been made aware that what you're doing is unlawful, you're going to force somebody to hire attorneys and spend money and take time to make you correct yourself, fully knowing that what you're doing is unlawful. That's no different than somebody saying, I know stealing's illegal, but I'm going to keep doing it because I want this thing, this candy bar, this whatever. And who's going to stop me? And if they do, then I'll stop doing it. It doesn't work that way. So if a ruler unintentionally or out of ignorance violates the law and the violation comes to his knowledge, he shall make restitution for it. That's in Leviticus 4:22-23. In other words, when you find out that a firearm law that you just passed is unlawful, you immediately change it. You don't, out of arrogance, say, so sue me. So in that case, I believe he should have been forced to resign by knowingly violating the law of the land. Civil leaders and authorities are to be men, not women. That's Exodus, Deuteronomy, Isaiah. Now, here's an interesting one. And it's pretty clear that civil leaders and authorities are to be men, not women. There's a little bit of toxic masculinity for you to choke on, if anybody's got a problem with that. And it's true, but we've got a lot of women, a lot of Christian women in some of these positions, legislative positions, including county commissioners and state legislatures. Various different positions. Well, they shouldn't be doing that if they're Christians. Well, this came up to me 2 years ago when Representative Heather Scott was running, and one of the pastors said, we will not support you and endorse you, and I'm actually going to go against you. I'm going to tell people not to vote for you because you're a woman. And so my response to this was, Pastor, would the real Christian man please step forward to run for this position then? No response. There are biblical examples where God called women forward to be in leadership roles, in command, in leadership. It's rare, but those occasions are there, especially when a good, godly man is not available to step up to that position. So just like in Heather Scott's place situation, Representative Heather Scott in Idaho, my response to the pastor is, how about then, Mr. Pastor, with a congregation of men, can you not find one man in your congregation willing to step forward, who fears the Lord, to step into that position? Not one person from his congregation was willing to step forward to take that position. And she has been a champion for freedom and for the rule of law since she's been in there, unwaveringly. She's taken a lot of heat for it. And so to be torn down and told that you would face opposition from a pastor who sits over the congregation full of men that not one of would step forward to be in that position. Well, sometimes God has to use women. Real men, step up. Step up. Let's move on. Government officers are to execute judgment and righteousness and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. They are to do no wrong, Do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in the land. Hear that? Government officers are to execute judgment and righteousness. Deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. And how many times do we have oppressors taking land, taking personal effects, taking property from citizens without a trial, confiscating their vehicles and personal belongings? That's a whole nother topic there. They're to do no wrong, but when they do wrong, there's a problem, isn't there? So, moving on. Government officers that engage in conspiracy, treachery, and murder are to be put to death. Did you catch this? Government officers that engage in conspiracy, treachery, and murder are to be put to death. Remember when Paul was captured by the Romans and they began to scourge him? They were going to whip him until the flesh was like ripping from his back. And he reminded them he's a Roman citizen, which is unlawful to be able to carry out that type of corporal punishment against a citizen, a Roman citizen, without a trial. And they just about fell all over themselves. They were fearful when they realized they were about ready to unlawfully scourge a Roman citizen, knowing full well the rights of a citizen. There was fear in them. And today, there's no fear in our elected officials when they engage in conspiracy or treachery or murder. But back then, it was the death penalty if you violated a Roman citizen's rights. That's treacherous. That would be treachery to grab somebody without a trial who is a Roman citizen and scourge them and whip them until the flesh is hanging off their back. You're going to die for that. If you violate a Roman citizen's rights. I would love to see America return to that type of fear of the law, fear of violating a citizen's rights, to engage in treachery. They conspired to commit treachery. The law of God is to be read in public addresses by civil leaders to direct the course of society and government. Now, we have seen that, but it's been a while. Although this week, the governor of Texas reminded us that we need to return back to God as the solution for preventing the type of murders that we saw. He's right. That's the solution. And here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures that are mentioned to back up this statement that the law of God is to be read in public addresses by civil leaders to direct the course of society and government. A good civil leader or judge is from God and keeps people from rebelling against the ways of God. Civil authorities who are oppressive do not understand justice. Not the truth. There is no justice in our justice system. Rarely. Lying is unbecoming of rulers. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all of his aides and ministers become wicked. Those in government are not to consult mediums or spiritists for guidance, but are to inquire of the Lord. Civil leaders are not to drink, lest it causes them to forget the law and pervert justice. Civil rulers are to be chosen from among thy brethren or race. We are not to put a stranger or over us in a position of authority. And of course, there we have natural born citizen required to be president, right? That's built into our laws. God will punish civil authorities who punish unjustly and contrary to the law. And it is an abomination for a civil ruler to commit wickedness, for his office is established on righteousness. These are the standards for government. And we were based on a Christian nation. I want to read something to you real quick before we go in, before we close out this segment. And this is from my Patriot's Bible. Which all through it, it's a New King James Version of the Bible, but it has a whole bunch of historical and specifically American heritage, how the Word of God influenced the founding of our country and our leaders, and many quotes by them. But here's one. that is really fitting for right now. The patriot who feels himself in the service of God, who acknowledges him in all his ways, has the promise of almighty direction and will find his word in his greatest darkness, a lantern to his feet and a lamp unto his paths. He will therefore seek to establish for his country in the eyes of the world such a character as shall make her not unworthy of the name of a Christian nation. That was written by Francis Scott Key, who, as most of you all know, was the author of the Star-Spangled Banner, our national anthem. Very cool stuff. So, anyway, let's take a break. And we'll come back. We'll finish things up here. Got a few more things that I want to add. And continue on here, and then we'll let you guys go. Okay, this is Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Therefore, propaganda is vastly more important in democratic societies.
In recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
Coming at you with segment four, the final segment here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC, WERKZ.com, Works.com for your custom holster needs inside the waistband, outside the waistband, whatever you need there, they can custom make it with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Okay, now, I'm going to take a little bit slight twist. I want to kind of get off of this, I'm going to put all these links to these, scriptural references for, the standards for, those, in government, statesmen, leaders, elected officials, officers, and so on. But last week I talked about the Idaho Republican Party platform. Is written. Did you guys get a chance to read that? I hope so. What a great standard. But that was because Idaho's primaries were looming. Well, August 7th, the Washington State primaries are coming up. And so I'm going to be pulling up the Washington State Republican Party platform because I know there's independents, there's libertarians, there's Constitution Party, and so on. I get all that. But the Washington State Republican Party platform, which was approved in 2016, is a beautiful work of art, in my opinion, much like the Idaho Republican platform. Now, I see some wonderful things in some of the other parties as well, but I see as probably the most viable chance. Well, I know the frustration there is that the Republican Party has sold out, but it's not the Republican Party that has sold out, because when you look at the Republican Party platform, you can see everything that we believe in and stand for. There are individuals which have hijacked the Republican Party, that are compromising and taking us down a road, and the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, that are trying to convince us that we have to elect people that will compromise on the issues so we can get something done. But whenever we get something done, we lose more liberty, we lose more freedom, our taxes go up, and there's more reckless and irresponsible spending and less efficiency in government. Every time we compromise to get something done, we'd be better off shutting the system down so nothing can get done than we would be in continuously compromising and losing ground. But if they follow the platform, what many are fighting to do, you're on the winning side. So it's about getting rid of the people that are standing in the way of following this platform. Very beautifully done, very well laid out, and agreed on by the precinct committee officers, which are elected positions. Preamble: the Washington State Republican Party is dedicated to preserving a constitutional republic. Is that something we can all agree on? Through active participation, listen to this, through active participation by citizens for the protection and preservation of conservative values. Are we all in agreement there? The sanctity and dignity of human life, religious freedom, personal rights and responsibility, preserving a free society, free markets and free trade, limited government, low taxes, minimum bureaucracy, national security and sovereignty, and private property rights. Do we all believe in that? This is the standard. When somebody's saying, vote for me again, say, wait a minute. Let's look at your track record. Let's look at the things that you're standing up, because you can find all this stuff on every one of your elected officials, especially the incumbents, to look at their track record, their performance. Have you fought for these things? We believe that good citizenship begins with protected rights. Has this elected official that wants you to vote for him been protecting your rights, or have they been compromising them away? Well, we had to give a little bit. No, you don't have to give a little bit. You don't give anything. We believe that protected rights and ends with accompanying responsibilities. We believe that governments should be the last resort for individuals and do only those necessary things that they cannot do for themselves, which is like, you know, can you go out and build a highway? I can't. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I can't provide for our defense of our borders. I can't do it. I'm busy doing other things. So we hire people to do those necessary things, and only those things that are necessary, and they must be things that I cannot do for myself. So as a society, we do these things, and this is perfectly fine. We reaffirm the words in the Declaration of Independence, quote, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, capital C, as in deity, as in God. This is the Washington State Republican platform. We reaffirm the words in the Declaration of Independence. Now, the Declaration of Independence, it is our birth certificate for our country. No, it's not the Constitution. It was what led to the Constitution. It is one of our founding documents. We reaffirm the words that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and we maintain that the most effective government is that which is closest to the people. That's right, not the United Nations, not Washington, D.C. even. To each generation falls the responsibility to uphold the values that have made the United States the freest, most prosperous, compassionate, and successful civilization in history. as we confront security threats from international unrest and terrorism, economic threats from ever-increasing state intervention, and social and political threats from liberal cultural elites, we must also see these times as an opportunity to return to those principles that have made us great. This sounds like John Jacob Schmidt talking. This sounds like something you would hear on Radio Free Redoubt. But no, this is from the Republican Committee. It passed in 2016. This is the Washington State leftist state, communist state. This is from 2016 Washington State Republican Party platform approved at Pasco, Washington on 21 May, almost exactly 2 years ago. In 2016. Listen to these words. This is great. It has been over two centuries since our founders established the American Creed. The Washington State Republican Party is dedicated, really? Now, maybe the party is, maybe these people who wrote this is, but we see a huge problem in the Republican Party where they're not. They're not dedicated to preserving a constitutional republic through active participation by citizens for the protection and preservation of conservative values, including the sanctity and dignity of human life, including religious freedom, personal rights and responsibility, preserving a free society, free markets and free trade, limited government, low taxes, minimal bureaucracy, national security and sovereignty, and private property rights. We believe that good citizenship begins with protected rights and ends with accompanying responsibilities. We believe that government should be the last resort for individuals and do only those necessary things that they cannot do themselves. Catching this? I had to read it again. I want to make sure you understand it. So, listen to this part. It has been over two centuries since our founders established the American Creed, government under God, and accountable to the people. We believe their vision is best preserved by supporting the principles outlined below. And they've got these broken down into sections. I'm just going to take a little bit of time going through some of these. We believe civil and religious liberty protected, and those are in bold. I mean, those are in all caps. We believe civil, all caps, and religious liberty, all caps, protect the sovereignty of the individual citizen. Civil and religious liberties recognized in the U.S. Constitution are God-given and therefore unalienable. In other words, they cannot be taken away. They couldn't be taken away even if you don't use them. They are still yours should you ever choose to pick them back up again. So, rights... these fundamental liberties are proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, protected in the Bill of Rights, and reaffirmed in Article 1 of the Washington State Constitution, which includes the freedom of association and the absolute freedom of conscience. It is the obligation of government at every level to observe, respect, and secure these liberties. We saw a failure. Every one of these people who put their name on the line saying, I stand for this. This is what I believe in. This is what I will back up. This is what I will fight for. This is my creed that holds me. This is what drives me right here. This document. When you're saying I am a Republican, I'm going to be in the Republican Party, and I agree with the principles outlined in the Republican Party platform, you're saying you're going to stand for these things. But we didn't see that, did we? We didn't see that when the florist in the Tri-Cities in Kennewick was threatened with prosecution and threatened to have her business taken away from her, threatened even with charges and jail time. Did they step up and say it is the obligation of the government at every level to observe, respect, and secure those liberties of free conscience? They didn't. Did your elected official even raise their voice or make a peep at all when this happened? Their platform also says our freedom of religion ensures the individual rights to practice the religion of their choice, not only privately, but publicly. That means how you run your business. A citizen shall not be punished, persecuted, or prosecuted for exercising this right. And businesses shall not be required to perform services which violate the religious beliefs of their owners. Amen. Of course, this was put together, you know, after that incident, in response to that innocent. So that incident. So it set the tone. It set the standard. This is the standard now that you use to measure all these elected officials that are claiming that they've been fighting for you and they're worthy of your vote. Are they really? Don't take their words, what they say that they're worthy of. Compare it to what they've committed themselves to, the Republican Party platform. Have they stood up to this? Of course, you know, the Democrats out. That's not even an option for a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, because the Democrats have adopted the socialist, even a communist platform. They're communists. If you're a Democrat, you're a communist. It's the way it is. It's a fact. Or you're saying, I am aligning myself. They're my friends. I stand with them. You're either for us or you're against us. If you're with the Democrat, you're against us. Section 2, we believe in limited government and that it's essential to a free society. Amen. Our founders created a constitution of limited and enumerated powers, underscored by the passage of the 10th Amendment. We uphold strict compliance with the constitutional limitation of the federal and state governments. That's called federalism, by the way. And believe we have dual federalism. So that's where you've got a federal government and you've got state governments, each with their own distinct set of powers. Each of them have powers, but they're completely different, and there's jurisdictional. They cannot interfere with the other. That's federalism. So, state governments and believe limiting the role of government is essential toward building economic prosperity and fostering individual freedom. Are they following that? There's more here. I want you guys to read it, especially our Washington State listeners. Section 3, we believe that upholding our rule of law and justice is based upon our Constitution and Judeo-Christian heritage. You see that? They're saying it right there, what they stand for, and our Judeo-Christian heritage. This recognizes that liberty and individual responsibility best protect and promote a moral and just society. Now, I know some people are like, we don't have a Judeo-Christian heritage. We just have a Christian heritage. Stop saying Judeo-Christian, right? I didn't write this. The Republican Party platform states this. But I understand what they say. Don't get hung up on this stuff, the micro stuff. Judeo, no, we're not Jews. We're Christians. All those, a lot of Jews moving to the American Redoubt and live in the American Redoubt. And they're Christians. Messianic Christians. For example, but the Judeo-Christian thing, when people say that, they're talking about the Ten Commandments that you see in front of all the courthouses. That was long before Christianity, right? That was the law. And that Judeo-Christian, we believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But that's what distinctly sets us apart, because we believe in the New Testament, as in other words, Christ as being the Son of God, the Messiah who came, right? But he very much preached the Old Testament all throughout his ministry, which was Judeo in nature. So hence Judeo-Christian heritage. But I get it. I understand. All right. We had a Christian heritage, period, which means also Old Testament and New Testament. But getting into micro stuff, some people get really all spun up, wrapped around the axle over. Section 4, we believe that national security is a central function of government and that a strong America is a free America. A strong national defense is necessary for government to fulfill its primary function, which is protecting its citizens and their individual rights. You get that? This is the standard you need to hold the Republicans to when they say, vote for me, I'm fighting for you. Are you really? They should all have to reread this. I swear, once a month at the very least. I should be given a course on this. The security of our nation is a responsibility of government, military, law enforcement, and a vigilant public. Did you catch that? It's not their view. The Washington State Republican Party platform doesn't say it's the government. The professionals are the ones that are the only ones that should be able to provide for your security. That's why we should only have guns, because we're trained professionals. No. They're saying the security of our nation is the responsibility of government, military, law enforcement, and a vigilant public. Peace comes through strength and deterrence. And what a deterrent it is when you have a vigilant, armed public prepared to come to the defense of life and liberty. Isn't that something? I don't know who drafted this portion of it, but actually the whole thing is just amazing. Section 5, we believe in the preservation of liberty is dependent upon the sanctity of our national sovereignty. Amen. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. The President shall not negotiate, and the Senate shall not ratify any treaties, UN resolutions, agendas, or foreign law, religious or otherwise, that are contrary to the U.S. Constitution. Agenda 21/Agenda 2030, the Kyoto Protocol, Sharia law, and other agreements threaten our sovereignty. Therefore, judges, state, and local authorities must be barred from using or applying foreign agendas, laws, and resolutions for the purposes of interpreting the state and U.S. constitutions. This is beautiful stuff. And laws passed pursuant thereto must be bound by their original intent. Section 6, we believe our national borders are best protected by a fair and enforced immigration policy. Enforced immigration policy. And of course they say fair. And of course, isn't it fair to the citizens to protect them, protect their individual rights by protecting them from illegal immigrants? The United States government must protect all of our borders from illegal crossings. We support the immediate enforcement of all existing immigration laws. It goes on. Section 7, we believe in restoring sound monetary policy. Section 8, we believe in restoring sound fiscal policy. And they outline all of these in each of these sections. We believe economic opportunity ensures that each generation is better off than the one before it. That's Section 9. We believe that the family, Section 10, the family unit is the cornerstone of a free and moral society. We recognize and defend the unalienable right of human life from conception to natural death. Public funding should not be used for any act, individual, or institution which violates the right to life of the innocent. Are your elected officials calling themselves Republicans? Are they following this standard? Or are they compromising to get things done? It's a great standard. If you don't have something like this in your state, wherever you are, maybe you should get involved. Maybe you should run and try to become a PCO, precinct committee officer. If they have them in your area. Not every state does. But get this, get involved. Volunteer, help. With your local proven conservative, God-fearing, liberty-minded, doesn't have to be a Republican. The Republican Party, when they're doing this right, like several of our friends in legislative positions, they chose to go with the Republican Party because of these platforms. And they're sticking to these platforms, even though there are plenty that have sold out and compromised. They're pointing them out and making sure that they're being held to the standard. That's good stuff. Really good stuff. Okay, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. There's more. I could just keep going on and on and on about this stuff, but we're going to post these things for you to read for yourselves. And I just want to encourage you to really become involved citizens, especially as this elected season. The Venezuela is holding elections, and it's a joke, just like Turkey holding their elections. So many countries around the world, many of them don't even get to hold elections. All they say they do. North Korea gets to vote. And Cubans get to vote, right? Venezuela gets to vote. But truly, truly here, we do truly get to choose our leaders. And when we're effective when we get involved, when we are informed, and when we get engaged. But when we don't, and we don't show up, and you've got 17 or 20 or even 33% voter turnout, we grumble and we gripe and moan and say it doesn't matter when we don't get involved. But when we do get involved, how many of these races were won by 30, 40, or 60 votes? Where a leftist, compromising Republican, conservative, so-called conservative, almost got elected or even did get elected because of the apathy of our citizens. So I just want to urge you to change that. Okay, guys, you have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. I thank you so much for your prayers and your support, your financial support, your letters of encouragement. Amazing group of people. And I'm just so thankful and blessed. Like I was telling somebody earlier, I'm the most blessed man that I know. Amazing to have so many of you, some just amazing people in my life, and including all of you. So thank you so much. Godspeed to all of you. All right, this is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. Good night.